Staying in Britain, a historic meeting takes place this week between the Catholic bishops of England and Wales and bishops of the Church of England. The leaders of both denominations are gathering in the northern city of Leeds, where the Catholic bishops are holding their regular twice-yearly meeting to discuss issues of concern to dioceses around the country. Although ecumenical cooperation on social issues is commonplace at both grassroots and leadership level in many areas of Britain, this is the first time such a large number of bishops from both churches will be meeting and worshipping together, a clear sign of common witness to their shared values and beliefs.
It's seen as being quite a vivid and visual witness to what the two denominations hold together in common.
Jed Clapson is communications officer for the Jesuits in Great Britain. He told my colleague Susie Hodges he believes this week's meeting is extremely significant.
I think it's very significant. They're downplaying it in as much as there's no formal agenda, as far as we understand. The agenda is really going to be set by the bishops themselves. But it is the first time, as you say, that a meeting of all the bishops of the Church of England, the House of Bishops as it's known, and the Bishops' Conference of England and Wales have met together in what they're calling a very fraternal way. Their objectives, well, I think firstly just to meet together as a group, to see each other, to talk about the issues. There's a lot of feeling, I think, that while there are issues in common, there's also this big divide now, particularly over the question of women priests, women bishops, and the whole question that the Church of England is facing over homosexuality. And so it's seen as being quite a vivid and visual witness to what the two denominations hold together in common. And it is going to be indeed very visual on Tuesday evening, when all the bishops are going to be attending Vespers at the cathedral in Leeds.
I gather they will be discussing practical ways to express what they call the fruits of the dialogue between Anglicans and Catholics. Can you give me some examples of this, do you think?
I think it's very hard. They're talking about basing it on shared prayer, dialogue, and a desire for further development of their common Christian witness. So I think it's very much going to be exploratory in terms of seeing where there is common ground between them, acknowledging that there are differences, but also bearing in mind that we are living in a culture and a society, in Britain certainly at the moment, where religion has really raised its head in a quite phenomenal way. You know, the whole question of terrorism and the dialogue between Islam and Christianity, these are issues which, not so long ago we were talking about spirituality and religion dying, fading away. Suddenly they're back on the agenda, everyone's agenda, whether it's education and schools or whether it's the right to wear Christian symbols or Islamic symbols. So I think the bishops of both the Church of England and the Catholic Church are acknowledging that religion is playing an important part, and what can they do to make that Christian witness visible?
Well, it is quite visible because, I mean, we do see ecumenical cooperation at the grassroots level. I mean, it's
indeed
pretty well established, and, you know, many church members would pretty much take it for granted nowadays. But how can it sort of move further, go beyond what's already in place?
It's very difficult to say. I mean, our church leaders are very often seen together. I mean, Cardinal Cormac Murphy O'Connor and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, often seen together on common issues. But to actually have all of the bishops, all of the Catholic bishops, all of the Anglican bishops there in a meeting and in a public service, I think is going to send out a very strong message that there is room for dialogue, there is room for exploration, and I think there is room for a stronger Christian witness.
But in practical terms, what is likely to come out of it?
A very good question. Who knows? Dialogue, certainly important, exploration, acknowledgement, and perhaps, you know, this may be the first of several, many future meetings between the House of Bishops and the Catholic Bishops. I think it's an exploration initially. Let's see where it leads to after that.
And the meeting comes, in fact, at the same time that the Catholic bishops of England and Wales are holding their twice-yearly meeting, which is also in Leeds. But I gather that the agenda for that is pretty much under wraps.
Yes, I mean, was it planned or is it just a very happy coincidence? The point is that the bishops do regularly meet in November in Leeds, and so I think the fact that there was an invitation issued to the House of Bishops to join them for part of this meeting, or the same week as this meeting, was just a way that the bishops were all together already, and so it was an opportunity for them to issue an invitation to their Anglican brothers. In terms of the meeting, you say it's under wraps. I think very much it's a business meeting anyway. The agenda is something that is worked out by the various departments of the Bishops' Conference, and any resolution or any statement that they choose to make at the end of it is what they'll do on maybe Thursday or Friday of this week.
Now, talking of coincidence and timing, do you think it's a coincidence that this meeting between the Anglican and Catholic bishops is taking place only a matter of days almost between a forthcoming meeting between Pope Benedict and Dr. Rowan Williams, the Anglican primate?
Well, of course, some may talk of coincidence, others may talk of the intervention of the Holy Spirit. I think it's going to be significant in as much as it is a... just as we have the Church of England and the Catholic Church here in England and Wales talking and meeting together, so it's also significant that the head of the Roman Catholic Church and, as you say, the primate of the Church of England, Dr. Williams, should be meeting in Rome. I think it symbolises something that has been going on, thankfully, for 40-odd years, this dialogue that does take place, this acknowledgement that there are differences which are very hard to get over, some of them perhaps insurmountable, but there's also a lot of common ground. I mean, just thinking the statement that came out, about 18 months ago on the Virgin Mary, and a lot of common ground there. Acknowledgement that there are hurts and there are wounds, but there's also a great deal of very warm and very genuine friendship between the two churches.
The subject somewhat, I gather that the question of refugees has been hitting the headlines in Britain, and that a joint report by Amnesty, Jesuit Refugee Services, and also the Catholic bishop who is in charge of refugee questions have issued a statement saying that government policy is leaving refugees homeless and destitute. Can you tell us a bit more about this?
Yes, the report was actually from Amnesty International and Refugee Action here in Britain, as you say. And the basic finding of the report in its simplest form is that the government is deliberately making asylum seekers destitute and homeless in order to force them to leave the UK. Now, this has obviously distressed, as you say, Bishop Patrick O'Donoghue of Lancaster, who is the bishop on the Bishop's Conference responsible for refugee matters, and he has backed the report and actually condemned the government. And as you say, Jesuit Refugee Service in the UK also has. They wrote a letter alongside various people from Church Action on Poverty and the Refugee Councils and Citizen Advice and so on to one of the national newspapers here in Britain, saying they're extremely concerned at this new evidence of refused asylum seekers driven into homelessness and dire poverty because of government policies. They call it a dreadful state of affairs, and they say it must not be ignored. So they are very much calling on the government to review their policies regarding refugees and asylum seekers so that they don't end up in this terrible situation of having nowhere to live, no money, no opportunity to work, no food, or any other of the basic human rights that are so vital.
But is it thought likely that the government might do a U-turn on that? Because I think in many quarters, a tough line against what they see as illegal immigration, it goes down quite well with quite a lot of the population.
It's a very moot point. I mean, we're not necessarily talking about illegal immigration. What we are talking about are genuine asylum seekers. And I think one of the areas that the Church in Britain and certainly the Jesuit Refugee Service is very strong on is working with these people, listening to their cases, many of them coming from situations of violence where there are under threat. We're not just talking about economic migrants now. We're talking about people who are genuinely scared of going back to their countries. And the system is very much geared towards finding a solution to the problem rather than addressing the rights that individuals have and the rights that we all have under the United Nations Convention. So I think there is a continuing dialogue between the government, which is good at listening, perhaps not quite so good at acting, but listening to those organisations like JRS, which are involved with refugees, and Bishop O'Donoghue certainly is very, very vocal, and I'm pleased to say listened to by people who are concerned about the refugee issue, if that's not too bland a statement. So, yes, it may not be a significant U-turn, but I do think government officials do tend to listen to these people who are working with the refugees on the ground.
And my thanks there to Jesuit Communications Officer Jed Clapson, who was talking to my colleague Susie Hodges.